You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
Oh, I got to. Or if you come to Florida, you got to come in here. We got to spend some quality time. Or maybe we should set up, it'd be great to set up something with musicians. I mean, you should be an intrinsic part of any conventions that get together for those who are leading in worship. Because like I said, this will sound arrogant. Forgive me. I'm called of God. I have an anointing by God. I was only 6 months old in the Lord. Now, you'll get this. Nobody else in the world will probably get this. But if anybody gets it, it's going to be you. But I don't mean to sound arrogant. It's very sacred. I'm 6 months old in the Lord. I knew nothing about Jesus. I didn't believe in Jesus. I didn't even know. I thought Easter was about Easter egg baskets. I didn't know anything about Jesus. And so I get born again in my living room. And somehow I get invited to go down to the local jailhouse on Sunday morning. And I go down there, and there's six prisoners, as I recall. It may have been five, but I think it was six. I don't want to be found a liar, you know? So, because no liars enter the kingdom of God, according to Jesus. So I'm singing. I'm just singing normal songs. This is the day that the Lord has made. I have decided to follow. I have decided to follow Jesus. And, you know, amazing grace. Anyway, so I'm singing. And all of a sudden, now I swear to you, this is the truth. Because if I'm found a liar, hot substance came down from heaven and went on this side of my head and all drained down my face. So I didn't say anything to the prisoners. And then I left that jailhouse that day, and I went to Calvary Chapel. Now, Calvary Chapel was brand new, and a friend of mine who'd been a multimillionaire attorney had come to know Jesus at the age of 37, I think it was. And he started a little up in front of a Howard Johnson's, used to be ice cream shops and restaurants in America and hotels. Okay, motels. Anyway, so they rented a room upstairs, and they had maybe 25 people. So I walk in that morning, that same Sunday morning, and they say, "Hey, Rhett Palmer, will you sing for us? Will you sing for us?" Okay. So I get up, "This is the day that the Lord has made. I've decided to follow Jesus." And they start weeping. And this lady goes, "You have brought the Spirit of God into this church. You brought it back into this church." And because the Calvary Chapel people can be very cut and dry, you know, they divide the word of God, but the emotionalism, they're kind of like, you know, they can't control it. They don't want it, you know, and, you know, the cessationalists that don't believe there's still healings today and stuff. So anyway, so they start weeping, and I'm up there, and I'm just a big kid, and I'm going, I think I was 29 at the time. So I'm going, "This has nothing to do with me. This has to do with that hot oil that came down from heaven while I was in the prison this morning." And so I have been held back. I don't like to tell people because they'll think you're arrogant, you know, like, "Oh, you're anointed by God." Yeah, mm-hmm. I am anointed by God. And he showed me other things that are going to come. Remember I told you about the big it's going to happen in the future? Yeah, I mean, I can't let everything out today. I could tell you privately, but it's just amazing. So this is kind of real important to me. I'm an old guy now. I'm 72. And I thought, well, it's all over. It's too late. You know, this vision that he gave me in my 30s. And yet he didn't use Moses till he was 80. So I'm saying, Rhett, you know, it's written in the scriptures, God is not a man that he should lie. But this is why what you're doing, I mean, even regular pastors and reverends or whatever you want to call them, or rabbis, they don't get what you get. And what I want to know is, so anyway, what do you think of this so far? I mean, I'm telling a complete stranger, but
yeah,
most people, you know, I don't share this with. Oh, it's well, the next day what I did was I called this lady, and she was a follower of Jesus. She worked at a local radio station, but she was a profound Christian. She was old. She was 46. Remember, I'm 29, so she was an older lady. So I said, "Hey, Paul," so I go over to see her. I said, "Listen, I was in this prison, and this hot oil came down. I felt like hot honey dribbling down my face, and the people started crying." And she said, "Well, that's like the anointing that went down Aaron's beard." And I said, "Well, what's anointing, you know?" And so, you know, it's very superficial what I know so far, you know. But pretty heavy duty, you know?
Yeah. You know, and I think, too, that that the Spirit of God does affect us physically sometimes. So where you could feel that physical, on your head. And I do think that the Lord does have specific purposes and tasks for, those who choose to follow him. And so I think that, yeah, that's
Well, like
absolutely.
I told you, I'm 72 now. I've cut away from singing in churches for quite a while, and once in a while I'll do something. But there's a local church here that now wants me to come in and do some special numbers, and I'm thinking. I sat down with the pastor the other day with my wife, and I said, "I got it. We're having a restaurant at the Ocean Grill, and we're having lunch." And I said, "I got to be honest with you. I want to do it because I want to glorify God, but I'm at a place where I just like." I do not, I don't even want to get on platform. I don't want to be on stage. I don't want, nor do I need the attention of men, nor do I want the approval of man. And maybe that's right where he's gotten me to. And maybe that's when maybe he can use me but I don't know how to get up there now and like say, because I see people that they put a performance on. And I wonder if I go into these churches, how many people in front of the church, if I was the pastor of this great big church in town here and I said, okay, you're going to go to the back of the church. Nobody's going to look at you anymore. How many of you are going to show up next week to lead the singing? No glory in it. Now, you know the church you go to, Community Church in Stowe, Vermont. Now, what's really cool about that is you're here. It's this huge church, one of the most photographed churches in the world. Okay, it's this huge white church. It's glorious. But they're up above you, but they're behind you. And it's really kind of cool. You don't look at the choir.
Yes, I really like that too. And I think too, Rhett, this is actually an important lesson that I had to wrestle with some years ago when I had finished my studies, I was trying to get into Bible translation, actually do the work. And the Lord led me on a really twisted and dark path for about 3 years before I could start doing the work. And I remember during that time being like, God, I just want to do what you've called me to do. I just want to do what you've made me to do. Thinking, that's Bible translation.
Clarity.
But I think what he was teaching me during that time is what I was made to do is to glorify God and enjoy him forever, to know him and to make him known. Now, that can be done through Bible translation, but it can also be done and should be done every single day in everything that I do and how I treat people, how I make my decisions, how I live my life. That's what I was called to do. And I think, too, we can receive a Holy Spirit anointing to do that with power. So you don't have to be in front of people, you don't have to be doing some huge, grand thing. Even just how you live your life day to day can be just as powerful for the kingdom of God. And so I think that's really important to remember too.
You know what I've learned in Stowe? I mean, we're just getting to know each other, so I know I'm going hither and yon. I'm going down in these rabbit holes. But first of all, are you Greek with a name like Nikki?
No, Italian, half
Oh,
Italian.
Italian! Oh, what's the other half?
French, English, Welsh, and German.
Okay, I got all those in me too. Okay, so anyway, I don't know why I asked that, but what were you just saying? I was going to ask you something there.
Oh, talking about the anointing of God for just daily glorifying him.
Yeah. Oh, here I was going to tell you. You know what I like about Stowe? Now I've been going there for maybe 12, it might be 13 years, summers. And like a lot of people, life has been about me. But later on, he's teaching me. It says in the Bible, it says in the end times they will be lovers of selves. And Jesus said it is written that Jesus was a man acquainted with many sorrows, and he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Well, when you go to Stowe, here's what Stowe has initiated. I've been working on a book about dignity. I'm writing a book on dignity because when you're in Stowe, Vermont, and somebody steps off the curb, you stop. Now, you go to Atlantic City or you go to New York City and get out of the way. What are you doing? Tiny Church Street and Fifth, get out of the way. Whatever. Whereas in Stowe, people let each other out and try. Now, it is a small town, but it's the way it was supposed to be. I'm in a rush. I'm going to go see the dentist. I'm going to go see the dentist. And I me mine, ret, 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 ret. And dang it, here comes this lady stepping off into the crosswalk, and now she's walking. And then there's another old lady, and then there's young lady with two babies, and she's got her carriage. And go, no, Rhett, you're not first. You're going to be late? So what? They're first. They're the pedestrians. And I've really been thinking about initiating this with some of the, like I have a congressman that comes on my show, and I had the former governor on frequently, and I'm going to talk to him. But I think I want – I know it's the law here, but it's not really being pushed. Whereas in Stowe, you know, everybody knows this is the law. Others are first. Pedestrians are first. And it feels so good to put others first. It's a great lesson. I also find this out, and this is why I'm writing the book on dignity, is people don't realize they think they have to get money to have power. They think they have to have position to get power. Or they think, oh, I'm friends with the president, so I have power. Or I have prestige or whatever. Everybody, rich or poor, has the power today to serve others. Whether they might be homeless, but also I have the power to put you first. And if I put you first, actually, I have a better time at life. I'm walking up to the post office. Now I hold the door for you, Nikki. Now you might say, oh, thank you, you're a gentleman and a scholar. Oh, I feel so good inside. Or you might not even thank me. No, it doesn't matter if you don't thank me. I have dignified myself by dignifying you above self. And so, you know, that's anyway, I'm trying to connect all the dots here with this whole thing. If you can see where I'm going.
I'm with you. I think that we bring the kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven in big ways, but also in those little ways, those tiny little decisions to put somebody else first. It's how we bring the kingdom come on earth. And so those things are really important. I think that they're just as important as the huge, grandiose accomplishments for the Lord that we do, you know?
Well, you know, there are people running around who think that this guy's got this big TV ministry and that there's some little old, some person here. And I'm thinking, you know, you wonder who's going to end up in the front row in heaven because God's not impressed with the position or the prestige of man.
Absolutely.
And maybe I have no idea how old you are, but I know that the fame of man is fleeting. I grew up in the Beatles era. And I guess a couple of years ago, Paul McCartney was at the annual, what's the thing, where you get the awards for music?
The Grammys?
Yeah. And the number he was on, and the number one tweet with 16-year-old girls around the world was, who's Paul McCartney?
Yeah.
The fame of man is fleeting.
It is.
And,
absolutely.
Yeah. So it's, and he says he chooses the foolish things of the world to confound those that are wise in their own eyes, including us.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting It's a New Day.
Just know.